May Regional Water Quality Board meeting. And we will start with attendance or declaration of quorum. And Kelly, do you do that?
I believe Chris Blank's going to take care of that.
So Mr. Anderson is not here. Ms. Blair?
Present.
Ms. Cantu?
Present.
Dr. Olson? She was here. There she is.
Present.
Okay. Mr. Strawn?
Here.
And Ms. Warren?
Present.
And Dr. Barbanel?
Present. Perfect. Okay. We will now open the public forum. Anybody who wishes to make a presentation to the board on an agenda, on an item not on the agenda, please speak up. When the agenda item is started, you may have 3 minutes to make your presentation. If your item is on the agenda, please hold until the agenda item is reached. Let's see, how are we going to do this? How many?
Chris, do we have any speaker cards on the public forum?
No, we do not. Not for the public forum.
Okay.
If anybody would like to speak, you may now raise your hand for public comment. Mr. Chair, it doesn't look like we have anybody taking advantage of this.
Okay. So Let's proceed, but let's be attentive to somebody who struggles to get into the meeting or wishes to get into the meeting, raises hands or whatever, and we'll just bring them in over the course of what will be a shortish meeting. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson is in the process of logging in, so he should be here soon.
Let's give him a few minutes to... Is he coming by Zoom or by personal telephone?
He'll be participating via Zoom.
So we'll see his picture or a blank dark space with his name?
Should do, yes.
Yeah, okay. Let's wait just a couple of minutes to give him a chance to connect.
I'm sorry, who are we waiting for?
Anderson.
Eric Anderson.
Thank you.
Board Member Anderson is in the Water Board office and he's working with our IT staff to get logged on to them in order to participate in the meeting. It should just be a moment.
Okay.
I see that Eric Anderson has joined us. I'm moving him over to the panelist side.
There
Mr. Anderson.
All right, let's move along then to the next agenda item, which is board business. The board will consider adoption of the following board meeting minutes: February 12th, 2020, and March 5th, 2020. Do I have a motion to adopt? Can we, Catherine, can we vote on both those at the same time?
I'm not sure if everybody was at both of those meetings, but if everyone, if anyone wants to abstain from one or the other, you should do it separately. So I would recommend you just go ahead separately.
Okay, let's have a motion to vote on February 12th, 2020. Those are the minutes of February 12th, 2020.
Jerry, I'll second it then.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor of adopting the February 12th, 2020 minutes. We do this by raising our hands. I mean, what's the protocol here?
A roll call vote, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, that's Chris or Mr. Anderson? Kelly.
Abstain, I wasn't there.
Okay, Ms. Blair?
Aye.
Ms. Cantu?
Aye.
Dr. Olson? Betty, can you unmute yourself? Mr. Strawn?
Aye.
Ms. Warren?
Aye.
I think I'm usually the last one here, so aye.
Sorry, I'm trying to do two things at one time here. Right. Betty is having trouble unmuting herself.
Well, I think we had a quorum in any case. Let's go on to item 1B, which are the minutes of March 5th, 2020.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, thank you. Roll call vote.
Aye.
Ms. Blair?
Aye.
Ms. Cantu?
Aye.
Dr. Olson? Mr. Strawn?
Aye.
Ms. Warren?
Aye.
Dr. Barbanel?
Aye. Okay, now's the time for item two, which are reports on activity over the last month. For first board members, and then Laurel's still here, right?
Yep, I'm still here.
Oh, there you are. Okay. All right. And after board members, we'll have a report on whatever's happening at the state board or things that are important to you. I don't know who that was, but thank you.
I had to mute your mic for you.
Thank you. Okay, any reports from board members? You have to raise your hand, I think, to get noticed. We don't have a hand. Yes, Celeste.
I would like to report that Chair Barbanel has requested a committee be formed and has appointed Dr. Olson, Dr. Strom, and myself to look at state-of-the-art technology that would enhance and improve our monitoring capabilities, given limited resources and COVID, and the fact that we want to be on the cutting edge anyway.
Betty, let me interrupt you real quick, everyone. Betty, it seems like you have two connections here. You are logged in by two different devices. I'm going to, let's see here. No, you were logged in with two different devices, but you're not now. Do you have two instances going on here? Go ahead and unmute yourself.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I've never had this happen before.
I want you to log off of everything and then log back into the meeting if you could, please.
Celeste, did you get interrupted by all that?
I think I was pretty close to being finished.
Okay.
We've met twice, and we're excited to make progress. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other reports from board members? Then let's move on to the State Board Liaison's report. Laurel, if you wish.
Great, thank you. So wanted to go over a few things happening at the State Board and more generally at the state level. One is just to mention that the state budget is expected to be released this week, likely tomorrow. And I think we all understand that this is a drastically different budget than the draft that was the governor submitted. And there's now a huge 56, 57 billion dollar shortfall. I think everyone is expecting very significant budget belt tightening. We don't actually know what that means yet. So we're all looking to get the draft or the governor's may revise in the next day or so to see specifics. You know, as you know, the water boards are mostly fee funded. And so that's, it is that in this type of circumstance that puts us in a slightly better position than agencies that are just general fund funded. And so, you know, we are working to make sure that all of our, you know, certainly prioritizing our existing workforce and ensuring that our mission critical work can go forward. I do think it will have impacts related to things like some of the legislative proposals for state funding for projects along the border or other sort of legislative appropriations that, you know, I think looked more likely when we didn't have this budget crisis, but we won't know for sure what things look like until that comes out. And of course, the budget then has to be adopted in June. So there'll be legislative hearings and such before then. You know, I think that is looming on many people's minds. Certainly that's at the state level, but I think every, you know, local municipality and many households and individuals are in a similar challenge economically. The governor also issued an executive order, I don't know, about a month ago around prohibiting shutoffs of water service and requiring reconnections for anyone who has been disconnected from residential water service or small businesses after March 4th, when the emergency was declared. We have issued best practices and guidelines for implementing that. And there are also portals for individuals to report shutoffs or challenges that they're experiencing, as well as water systems, water providers posting what their policies are and how those are being implemented. So encourage folks to go to our COVID-19 website, and our front page of our website has links to that updated guidance. Updated guidance as well as the links to those reporting tools. The State Board adopted Environmental Laboratory Accreditation Program, a major new regulation, it's not a major regulation, a regulation update for the ELAP program. That program regulates the certification of environmental laboratories throughout the state. There's over 650. It's a huge program that has really been, originally was a Department of Public Health, moved over here when the drinking water program came. And not only does water quality testing, but also things like hazardous waste and really other environmental testing throughout the state. So it's incredibly important for data quality to ensure that we have adequate data management and quality regulations of labs. We had been decertified through our, because our program was really lacking for many years on a number of levels. So this is a huge step in improving our oversight and certification program. And those regulations will go into effect over the next 3 years. And we will be providing a lot of tools and training to help labs transition to that new standard. The state board adopted the safer expenditure policy. So this basically is the policy by which we will be expending safe and affordable drinking water funds. We are expecting a draft plan to come out later this month. And that will be a much more specific plan for implementation of the funds for this coming fiscal year. We are planning question and answer meetings for our vapor in, intrusion. The proposed CalEPA vapor intrusion work group draft supplemental guidance. So this is a guidance we've been developing to outline uniform framework for state and local agencies that oversee site cleanup, really for harmful vapors formed from contaminants that like TCE. The public comment for those ends June 1st, and the meetings are planned for May 14th and May 19th. As you know and are experiencing, our meetings are now virtual. And so we've all, both the State Water Board and many of these workshops, although many staff workshops were planned for in-person meetings throughout the state on a number of items, where we've moved all to Zoom and webcast and continuing the webcast. And so, you know, as you all are doing, the regional boards are integrating this as well and going forward with the critical work that each of you and the other regions are doing. And the state board is also moving forward. We have delayed a few things, but are not stopping with our critical work in any mean, by any means. We have postponed the an order around PFAS testing, where we had planned to require that water systems test for PFAS, where they found PFAS, test neighboring wells. And that will continue, but was postponed just to the third quarter of this year, so starting in July. But we expect that to be done starting then. There is the wetlands policy that we adopted last year will go into effect May 28th. And we posted implementation guidance on April 21st and held a training session May 7th. Let's see. We also issued, released a white paper on economic feasibility analysis for, well, more generally, but then also in consideration of the hex chrome MCL that we will be working through to adopt in the near future. There is a workshop on April 27th and comments are due May 15th on that economic feasibility analysis white paper. And let's see, we actually today we have a workshop on a revised framework for the formal rulemaking process for water loss performance standards from water systems. And so we're continuing to work through that process to adopt water loss performance standards statewide. And this was a process that began years ago and required by legislation. We have a stormwater grant program that we will be hosting a webinar on application requirements. So the round two solicitation opened in April, and we'll be going over on May 12th the application requirements for that funding for stormwater grants. We adopted our memorandum of understanding with Caltrans around dredge and fill procedures for their project statewide on our May 5th meeting. And I think that, oh, and lastly, and you all may know a lot about this, but with the COVID crisis, we have been part of international collaborators that are looking at environmental surveillance of COVID-19 indicators in sewer sheds. And so there's a big effort to look at monitoring for pathogens such as COVID-19 to be able to, in the future, assess community infection trends or other risk exposure and evolution. And so I think we're, you know, we're looking to make sure that we're part of the research and monitoring investigation around that issue that is continuing to evolve. So I think with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Went through a lot. There's certainly a lot going on. And I also just want to say, I think we've been really grateful and impressed by the regional boards and water board staff generally, but especially regional boards that are on the front lines of things like inspections and doing critical work and balancing how to transition to working remotely while also not reducing environmental protection, and appreciate all of the work that goes on. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Laurel from board members?
I have a quick question, Laurel. Okay. Now that you've moved some of the stakeholder meetings to virtual talk rooms, have you seen an uptick in participation?
I would say it's definitely changed participation. So I don't know that there's been an uptick, but there has been very significant participation, and there's pros and cons that we've seen. Certainly it allows for people not to have to travel as far. So that's been fantastic. And I think we really want to figure out how we can provide that opportunity for folks that otherwise, you know, the travel time is just makes it impossible to, or very difficult and burdensome to participate. Prior to this, and there have been limitations, not just on the technical side, but also on the legal side regarding Bagley-Keene. And so I think as we change, as we evolve through this process and hopefully are able to resume in-person meetings, there's still a legal issue that we need to resolve to be able to continue to do the remote participation. But, you know, certainly my hope is that we can continue that option because that has been a real benefit. You know, there's also, as your staff will probably attest, there's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes to be able to enable and manage all of the participation and troubleshooting. And we've seen a lot of stakeholders have challenge, you know, being able to, that stakeholders that aren't used to using Zoom every day, many of which, for example, have had, you know, may just have smartphones or not have computers at home. So we've to the credit of our Office of Public Participation, they've been doing an exceptional job at working through with stakeholders. And also, I think as, you know, our staff have been working through these meetings, being able to support all the technical and operational staff that probably for this meeting too are working hard behind the scenes to help troubleshoot. So, you know, there's challenges. I will say my experience so far with a few board meetings is that things go slower and they take longer. So I think for, you know, meetings where you have a very meaty agenda items that will have a lot of public participation, I think just have the expectation that it'll go a little slower in terms of managing stakeholder participation. But there's been a lot of pros and cons, and you know, my hope is we can continue to keep the pros and and also move forward with you know, in-person meetings at some time in the future.
Any other questions for Laurel? I have one. You mentioned that some of the personnel at the State Board are keeping in touch with what other countries are doing. Has there been it's a little experiment in the following question. Have you seen people reopen their countries and then have to close them back because there's a spike in reported COVID-19 infections? I mean, what is the story there internationally?
Yeah, I definitely can't speak to that, but I think in the context that I was speaking was more that our staff is working with international collaborators that are looking at water research related to the sewer shed and COVID-19. So it's really just been around, the specific update I had was really just around research collaboration, because I think everyone is looking at how to improve our tracking and understanding of COVID-19 and other spread of pathogens that may be in be able to be tracked through wastewater to understand community infection and trends. And, you know, and I know that that's been, you know, a concern for folks. We issued a, in terms of exposure, we issued a notice around a couple things related to this crisis that you all may have seen. One was just that this is not a waterborne disease, and our drinking water treatment, you know, that are required for our public water systems do treat. So we do not expect this to be, that this is not transferred through drinking water. Mm-hmm. And then also just that on the wastewater side, I know there's, you know, that's where there, you know, we do expect to see some come out of wastewater in our sewer shed. And that's where this research is looking at how to monitor that and learn from that and help inform public health experts' understanding of where infection is and how trends are going in individual communities. You know, I think I also saw there's some research being funded in particular in this region 9 around, you know, to the extent that there's untreated wastewater that is going into the ocean through along the border because of Tijuana River, just looking to see if that is creating risk for COVID-19 health spread in that particular area. I think lastly, we issued an order that was, or not an order, a public reminder that not to flush, you know, wipes that are not flushable, because that can back up wastewater systems, and we've got our hands full. Everyone's at home, and there were concerns, you know, about access to regular toilet paper, and so I think worrying about people using materials that would back up sewer systems was mm-hmm. something early on that the Water Board was trying to support locals and getting the word out to really not use unflushable wipes.
Okay, thank you, Laurel. Oh, I think Celeste, you have your hand up or waving. I don't know.
You're on mute.
You have to unmute.
Sorry, no, I was changing my screen from to active speaker back to the grid when Laurel was finishing.
Oh, okay. So,
that wasn't a hand, sorry.
All right, well.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Laurel. The last sort of board item is our
monthly.
Dave? Oh, I'm sorry, I haven't heard the
Executive officer.
Yes, I read it offline, and here you are to present it online.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'll start off with the good news. I'd like to introduce two new staff who've just joined us under these unusual circumstances. Lark Starkey and Laura Keaton, if you could show us yourselves, say hello.
Hello.
We're very glad to be able to bring them on board even during these difficult times. They are very, very welcome additions to our staff, and we are continuing to pursue a couple of other vacancies right now as well. Thank you very much, Laura. Thank you very much, Lark. Welcome to the Water Board.
Thank you.
We will be having a June board meeting as scheduled. It will, however, be a Zoom meeting like this one. We'll be even better at it by then. Mm-hmm. That meeting was to be located in Orange County in Laguna Beach. So we will endeavor to locate a meeting there later in the year, perhaps when we can attend in person. The agenda for that meeting should be forthcoming here in a couple of days. There was other good news yesterday. You may very well have seen the press release from Senators Feinstein and Harris and Representatives Peters, Levin, Vargas, and Davis regarding the USMCA funding for the border issues. It is to be spent on the Tijuana River watershed, not on all 2,000 miles of the border, which is very good news for us. And I understand that as a result of both our attempts to reach out and Laurel Firestone's response to the board's request last March, US EPA will be scheduling a meeting with the stakeholders on or about June 2nd. That date may be changed as things progress. And I have completed a letter which I have shared informally with US EPA and will be sending to them this afternoon after the attorneys have had one last look at it, requesting a meeting with him and his staff to talk regulator to regulator on the border issues, the challenges, to update him on our TMDLs, the investigative order we issued to IBWC, and other measures and matters on the border that the Clean Water Act compels us to coordinate on. I believe that will be very well received based on the feedback that I've received so far informally. So I will update you in June as to the progress on scheduling those two meetings. As you very well know,
meeting with the stakeholder meeting with US EPA is June 2nd.
That's the target date, subject to revision as the calendars get formalized.
Sure. Can you send a copy of that to all board members? We definitely want people who can attend to attend, but I know there's a limitation by US EPA on the number of people who can attend.
Certainly, I'll keep you up to date on that and indicate when we can send board members to that. As you know, most of our staff are working remotely, teleworking. We have reduced our in-office hours, and we have staff there rotating through those duties each day, serving Public Records Act requests, receiving packages, and so on. I am very happy to report that so far, the productivity and the morale of the staff remains high, and we are, in fact, getting out to a number of our facilities and locations for inspections as well. Wherever we can, we're using remote technology, and the project that Vice Chair Cantu reported on a few moments ago is truly paying dividends right now. And I think there's a real opportunity for us to show the value of that statewide for things like construction stormwater oversight. So there may be some lessons learned to come out of that as well. The chairs will be meeting on May 22nd, and I have been asked to participate in that as an executive officer on the wetlands protection policy and definition. So I will have a few brief comments there to share at that meeting as well. And that concludes my report, unless there are any questions from the board. Board Member Anderson.
Yeah, I just want to comment. Thanks for following up on the irrigated lands and going forward. And the part about not knowing the resources available to ag, maybe we could have a dialogue maybe over the phone with the staff, and I could probably give a nice background and find out what they know and what they don't know, because that's one they should have known. Well, I assume they did. You know, it's just one of those things you understand. But I've learned a lot being on the water board side about the backgrounds, and it's taken a long time for me to learn this side. But I do have a lot of background on what resources are available to ag to help them comply. And that's part of what the Irrigated Lands Group relies on, is there's a fairly strong infrastructure to support ag in their quest to meet different requirements, science requirements, base requirements.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stephanie?
Sure. Thanks, Dave. I just have two what I hope are quick questions. The first one on the Choice Creek TMDL, did the time from our approval to EPA approval, that time frame, was that about average or was that longer than normal?
It was about average. There are several intermediate steps. The state board consideration was perhaps a little bit lengthier because there were concerns from the non-governmental organizations that needed to be addressed in the comments and the revisions of the documents. But from there on, the Office of Administrative Law and USEPA timeframes were pretty much as normal.
Okay, thank you. And then on section two in part B for the Lake San Marcos update, did we make an effort to make sure that this information reached the gentleman who was at our March meeting? I'm sorry, I didn't catch his name, but I know he raised concerns about the progress of the Lake San Marcos investigation and work plan. And I just want to know if he's on our mailing list or if we somehow got this out to him.
He certainly is. Ms. Caton has already met Mr. Thielen and is coordinating with him. So we've updated him on the status of the project and on the timeframes going forward. Bless you. If there aren't any other questions, that concludes my report. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Sorry, I missed you there. Let's move on to item three, the identification of future agenda items by board members for the staff to consider and bring back comments on. None? Okay. We're roaring through this short calendar. The final items until a closed session are two consent calendar items. I'm sorry, I have no idea if there are any members of the public out there. I'm gathering there are not.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We do have a request from Council Member Christopher Cate, who would like to address the board on item number five, if it pleases the board to take comments.
He's here now. Good morning, Mr. Cate.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much for having this meeting in these interesting circumstances. Again, my name is Chris Cate. I serve as council member for the city of San Diego, serving the 6th District, and I'm honored to be representing the city in support of the Water Board's action on the North City Pure Water Project. I want to thank the board members and the board again for convening this meeting, and I greatly appreciate you prioritizing the NPDES permit for the North City Pure Water Project in today's meeting. This is an historic event for the city and for all San Diegans. This permit for the North City Pure Water Project is a major step to implementing potable reuse in San Diego. The North City Pure Water Project will produce 30 million gallons per day of new water supply for the people of our region. This is enough water to supply 65,000 San Diego households for a year. The purified water produced is reliable, safe, and cost-effective. Ultimately, when the Pure Water projects are fully built out, they'll provide 1/3 of the city of San Diego's water supply. My support of potable reuse in San Diego dates back more than a decade to my time with the San Diego County Taxpayers Association. We were one of the founding organizations of the Water Reliability Coalition, which consisted of business and economic interests, as well as environmental advocacy groups. The membership of this diverse group all agrees that a stable, dependable supply of water is a necessity for San Diego's growing community, and that recycling water for potable and non-potable use is an important part of San Diego's water supply portfolio. San Diego has been a leader in the field of potable reuse. Our Pure Water program and staff have collaborated closely with state regulators. Research done in our Pure Water demonstration facility and studies at our reservoirs helped to shape the state's recently adopted regulations for potable reuse through reservoir augmentation. In this time of COVID-19 and the actions of our community to address the pandemic, it is important to note to you that the drinking water supply to homes and businesses in San Diego is safe and healthy. This will continue to be the case with the implementation of the Pure Water projects. The purified water will be processed through three separate and independent treatment facilities that provide multiple treatment processes that are highly effective for removing viral pathogens, including coronavirus. The treatment includes physical barriers such as membrane filtration and reverse osmosis, as well as three very powerful disinfectants, ozone, ultraviolet light, and chlorine. The combination of these treatment processes significantly surpasses regulations for virus removal and inactivation required by the regulations of the State Water Board. The potential for disease outbreaks was considered in these regulations. California's regulations were prepared with the input and guidance from a panel of international experts in public health, microbiology, chemistry, and treatment. Challenging times require innovative solutions. The advent of this unfortunate pandemic highlights the need for solutions such as the City of San Diego's Pure Water projects. Pure Water is a cost-effective and environmentally friendly option to enhance local water supplies. It is a locally controlled source of water, it is drought-proof, and it decreases our dependence on less reliable and ever more expensive imported water. Thank you, Mr. Chair and the board for your time this afternoon.
Are there any questions of Mr. Kate? First of all, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
The San Diego Water Board, I think I can speak for everybody, is very proud of the project that you're supporting. And we are, we know that it was one of the, if not the pioneer project in the state of California to push this forward. It's starting at a relatively lower level, I think of 20 MGD and now up to 30 MGD. When do you think that 30 MGD will become part of our regular water supply system?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see Shauna Lawrence, our director of the Public Utilities Department, who is here, who is obviously managing this project, and I can leave the question for her on the details regarding the implementation of the program.
Okay.
Hello. My screen just, my thing just totally rebooted, so I missed that last question. So if you could say it one more time, I would gladly answer it.
When do you think, and you can give me approximation, the Pure Water Project will be online and delivering the 30 MGD that Mr. Kate talked about?
We're currently aiming for 2025.
Okay. Eric, did you have a question?
I wanted to echo Dr. Henry's applause because it is a great project. Have you been able to overcome the financial issues that were raised in lately over funding the construction portion? Is that going to be doable, or can we? I know it's not our purview. We're not trying to.
No, it's okay. I think our staff, with under the leadership of Ms. Lawrence, we've been able to secure various WIFIA loans as well as a grant from the Metropolitan Water District, which is essentially a funding source for us to offset the cost of the program. So we've been in very good place in trying to find either grants or other very low interest loans that offset the cost and the need to borrow to pay for the project.
Thank you.
Other questions of Ms. Lawrence or Mr. Kate? I think, as Eric said, we owe you a thank you for hanging in on this. And I hope if these meetings don't get too bothersome to you, if you will come back over the next few months as the project continues. This is something that, as I said, we're proud of and we thank you for it.
Well, Mr. I appreciate Chair, that.
Attendee hand raised. But Mr. Chair, this is Catherine Hagen. There's an attendee with a hand raised wishing to speak.
Oh, I don't see that.
I do, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to ask Ms. Blank, do we have any other speaker cards on items number 4 or 5?
No, they're all like if needed.
Okay. I acknowledge the hand that's raised, and I will now move him over to the speaker side. There we go. Mr. Carlisle. Mr.
Hi,
Carlisle?
This is Craig Carlisle. Great. I don't know if you can hear me.
We can hear you, but we cannot see you.
Yeah, my laptop doesn't have a screen. I'm a citizen of the city of San Diego, And I'm very disappointed the regional board does not discuss the downsides of promoting this, I like to call it toilet water, because for instance, it's just gonna cause additional growth, thus additional traffic, additional pollution, additional costs. The additional costs are going to be disproportionately impacting the lower socioeconomic groups. So I just wanted to point that out, that there's obviously plenty of water for all the new homes are already building. They're just going to pack San Diego with more and more homes. So it's very pro-developer and anti-environment, frankly. So thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who wants to speak to this agenda item? Right.
This is Shauna. I had a quick speech that I was going to provide, but I think with all of your guys' support, and it sounds like you all know quite significantly about this project, that I can pass on that unless there's a desire for me to provide more information.
Unless there's a question from board members or the public at this minute, if you would provide that to Dave, he'll make sure it gets to all board members. And I don't know how we can promise it will get to all the public. I'm sorry. This is a new experience for us.
No, I think we're absolutely fine. I don't need to take your time with the amount of support that we currently have. I do just want to make sure I voice my thank you and appreciation for what's going to be a incredible, secure water supply for the city of San Diego. So thank you very much.
I have a question for you, though, based on what Mr. Carlisle said. Is this 30 MGD arriving in 2025 going to replace some of the water supply that we presently have? For example, will Point Loma not produce 170 MGD, but 160 or something like that?
The intent part of the pure water is, as you guys know, in relationship to our permit with Point Loma. So this will absolutely be reducing the amount of water that is treated by our Point Loma wastewater treatment plant.
Okay. So that
they will not be, we would do not intend to replace that water with a different source that would then go against our permit by increasing water going outside Point Loma.
Thank you. Okay. So let's move on to the two items on the consent calendar. Does either a board member or a member of the public wish to pull that from the consent calendar? I can't see hands that are in the...
There are represent- no hands.
Pardon me?
There are no hands.
No hands from either the board. Okay. Catherine, can we do the two parts of the consent calendar separately or together?
You can do it in one vote, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so let's move on to any body who wants number five. We've been discussing number five. I thought we were discussing number four. Anybody want to pull item number five off the consent calendar? Then could I have a motion to adopt the two parts of the consent calendar, items four and five, together?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We need somebody to call the roll on this.
Mr. Anderson?
Aye.
Ms. Blair?
Aye.
Ms. Cantu?
Aye.
Dr. Olson?
Aye.
Mr. Strawn?
Aye.
Ms. Warren?
Aye.
Dr. Barbanel?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. We will now have a break until approximately 12:30. Is that the time we arranged with AGP?
AGP will keep the meeting open but muted until you come back from closed session.
And I'd like to, this is Catherine Hagen. I'd like to announce that the board will be speaking in closed session or hearing in closed session on item the San Diego Water Board versus U.S. International Boundary and Water Commission litigation matter.
And if I understand correctly, that will be a closed session and it will take place on the Teams network, not on the Zoom network. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So see you all back here at 12:30 on Teams.
And if the attendees will please mute their cameras and microphones during the break, that would be helpful.
Thank you all. See you in 25 minutes.
Thank you.
They're not here?
No, we need to wait for a fourth. Gary, okay. Eric, thank you.
Okay, I'll be good. There's Megan. I don't see Gary though.
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, are you the Bob Lloyd guy? Mm-hmm. With the dogs?
We have a quorum now. Are we waiting for Henry or should we go ahead, Catherine?
I think you can go ahead, Celeste, as vice chair and move to adjourn the meeting.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting. We finished our business on our agenda. We had a closed session and one action was taken, direction to staff. And do I hear a motion to adjourn this meeting of May 13th?
So moved.
I'm moved.
Oh. I'll second it.
All those in favor? Oh, we call a roll, right?
You can just do a consensus for the adjournment.
Okay. We finished our business. We can do consensus. That's right.
Aye.
Everyone's agreeing. Thank you very much.
Very good.
It's adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, Dave.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now everybody can go home. Elvis has left the building.
All right. Drive safe.
Oh, yeah.
Bye. All right.